Good. Thank you. We have much to be thankful for, don't we, with our teams that lead us in music, worship in music. There is so much that is worship. Everything should be worship. But we have worship in music. We have worship in other things. Just how we live our lives in response to what God teaches us and leads us in is worship. Everything can be an act of worship. So we're all involved. I love that. Thank you, Vincent, for singing Let Your Glory Fall. That's an older song, but I love it. And it's always been a special one to me because that really should be our desire, isn't it? We pray, Lord, let your glory fall. Bring your glory. Moses, you remember Moses? He said something very, very aggressive to God once. You remember? He said, show me your glory. He didn't know what he was asking for. If God showed up here in all his glory, do you know what would happen to us? We'd be on our faces and we would be destroyed. His glory is so powerful, we would be changed to dust. There wouldn't even be dust here. His glory is powerful. It isn't just a nice concept. It is alive. It is real. The glory, his glory really is his holiness showing up in fullness. When you think about that. But we should pray, Lord, let your glory fall. Because God knows how to temper it, correct? He knows how much we can handle. Aren't you glad? So keep asking. Be bold like Moses. And say, Lord, let your glory fall. He knows how to take care of the balance. Equilibre or whatever, however, to balance it right. So, did you do your homework this week? You are laughing and smiling. That means no. Been marinating, thinking about your inheritance, how rich you are with his presence and with his... The Father said to the Son, you're always with me. We have his presence. And then he said, all I have is yours. Have you thought about that this week? All the Father has is mine? Say mine. Say it a little louder. Yeah, with authority. It's yours. If you are a follower of Jesus, you're in the royal family. You are royalty. All the king has is yours and mine. That's going to lead into what we're doing today. But think about these things, friends. Let them grip your hearts. This is the truth. We must sit in the truth. What's another word for sit in? Soak in? A few of you have it, yes. Yes. Well, Lord, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your glory today, that you've given some of your glory here today. You've let some of your glory fall. And we thank you for that. You've drawn us some into your presence. Thank you. Now, Lord, we must hear from you. We must not hear from me or anyone else. We must hear from you because only your words give life. Only your words are eternal and everlasting. Only your words, by the anointing of your Spirit, can truly touch our hearts and change us. And Lord, in faith we say, Lord, we want that. We want to be changed where we need to be. And in faith we say, Lord, come and do that wherever we need it this morning. Et merci pour ta grâce. So much, Lord. Because in all of this, that's what brings the balance and the power. Thank you. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. So, you remember a couple weeks ago, I mentioned to you about a dream that a friend of mine had. And he had died, gone to heaven. Jesus met him at the gate to heaven and took him on a tour through heaven. And on that tour, they went down a long hallway. And there were many doors on each side of that hallway. You recall? Or you remember when I told you that? What was in each of those doorways? He said, Lord, what is here? He said, open, open. He'd open a door. Things like this. Marvelous. Merveilleux, right? Amazing. Glorious. What is this? Every door he opened. This. What is this? And he finally said, Lord, what is this? Do you remember the words I told you? Jesus said, this is all you could have had. And this is all I could have used you for if you'd only asked. I hope every one of us gets to heaven someday. And if you're not sure, you come and talk to me afterwards. I'll make sure you get to heaven. I'll grab you by the throat. There are people afterwards here, too, you can talk to about that. But friends, don't delay very long. Don't miss what God wants to do in your life and through your life. It is incroyable. The scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. I think we have great minds. We don't have any clue as to the things God knows and the things he wants to show us and use us for. No mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. That's not just then. Someday, when we meet him, a lot of it is now as well. Say now. Maintenant? Is that what you say? Like now, right now. Right now. Do we believe it? So let me ask you the question for today. Are you going to leave a great legacy? Well, I don't have that much. No, we just took care of that. All the Father has is yours. If you're a follower of his, it's all yours. So are you going to use that to create a great legacy now in this life that you can leave for others? What will it be? There was someone who did. When we ask questions someday, don't we hope that people will say really good things about us, like when I leave this earth? Don't I hope my wife will still say good things about me? Don't I hope people will say, when I say, Paul, you remember Paul? Oh, yeah. He was a man who walked with God. Wouldn't you like to have someone say that about you? Do you remember Agnes? Oh, yeah. She She showed what it's like to live the abundant life that Jesus talked about. Yeah, she did that. Jean-Claude. What about him? You remember him? Oh, yeah. Boy, every day I saw him, he looked more and more like Jesus. Wouldn't that be great to have people say that about you? Huh? Are we going to leave a great legacy? Someone did, and that's the one that's speaking to us this morning. Pas moi. His name is Jabez. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." What a commentary. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. Oh, look how this is all packed into one verse here. "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. Keep me from harm, so I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Doesn't that jump right out at you? Just like the commentary on Enoch. You remember before we mentioned Enoch? Enoch walked with God and then was no more. It's like here you are in the middle of these boring genealogies, you know. We think they're boring, they're significant, but initially we think, oh, he was the father of this, and he was the son of da, 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 da. And Enoch walked with God and then was no more, like a bolt of lightning across the sky. Like, whoa! Here it is with Jabez, the same way. And Jabez, da, 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 his mother bore him in pain, and he asked this, he prayed this prayer, da, 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 da. Bolt of lightning across the sky and gone. They're there for us to get our attention. There was something special about these two men. Just like there can be for any of us. Would you raise your hand in faith and say, okay, I'm like that too. I can maybe receive something from this. And the rest of you don't have any faith. Okay. All right. That's what we want to press in on our hearts for a moment this morning. If you want to leave a powerful legacy, learn something from Jabez this morning with me. Let's first learn from his person, the person of Jabez for a moment. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. I thought the interesting thing, I didn't see it here anyway, he didn't walk around saying, I'm more honorable than you are. Honorable people aren't that way. They just get a commentary. They get a legacy that states that. Honorable, the word literally means weighty, heavy. And that's the word used in the Old Testament for God. God is heavy. The Hebrews knew what that meant. That meant something very serious, something very significant and important and powerful that speaks greatly to you. We used to have that expression in the English language. It was in our culture for a little while. Like, oh, that's heavy, man. You know, like, oh, that's really something important. Boy, you really ought to listen to that. Yeah, cool, heavy. We don't say that as much anymore, but maybe we could bring it back because it's closer to the Hebrew. God is heavy. That's the feel of this word, honorable. The same root used to describe God's glory. So Jabez carried a lot of weight. He had a lot of influence. An honorable man. This is interesting given his circumstance because his mother named him Jabez. You know what the name Jabez literally means? Pain. Reminding his mother, maybe, that he brought pain to her? I don't know. I think most kids bring pain to their mothers, don't they? When they're born and then later as well. But think of this, all his life, what's your name? Pain. Oh, nice to meet you, Pain. Okay, like a dripping faucet, you know, drip, drip. How many of you have a dripping faucet? Well, no, I won't ask you wives because then your husbands will feel they're under pressure. Drip, drip. Pain, 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 right? I'm not talking about bread, I'm talking about pain, right? Did you say it the same way, right? It's hard to tell except context, no? You're smiling at me, that means no, we'll tell you later, Pastor. But can you imagine? Can you imagine? What's your name? Pain. Oh, nice to meet you, Pain. Like, what's going on here? It's interesting how often God prepares us for great things by first letting us go through deep waters. Some of you may be going through deep waters right now. How many of you are going through deep waters right now? How many of you don't want to admit you're going through deep waters right now? You know what? It's very likely you have a deep calling. God has something very deep and special he wants to work into your life and through your life. Don't forget it. Remember Jabez. So here was a man, like any other man. The only thing that was different was he had a heart for God. He wanted to be more and do more for God. So you notice it says he cried out to the God of Israel. He just didn't say, oh, I've got a second. Maybe I'll just mention something to God. Oh, hey, God, do you think maybe you could do this? No, he was in earnest. He was sincere. He was burdened. This was the passion of his heart. And that expressed itself as he cried out, literally maybe screamed out to God even in his earnestness and in some of his pain. But he had a heart for God. Somebody said that there's really very little difference between people. Though there's a huge difference in how everybody looks this morning. Some of you look great. Some of you look kind of ugly. But, wait a minute. That's not what was I supposed to say? That's not true. You know, it's interesting. How do I get out of this one? Everybody is unbelievably different, created by God, isn't it? But if you really look at them, they suddenly appear very beautiful. Isn't it amazing? You wonder if you can really, really describe the word beauty, because everything has amazing beauty to it when you really contemplate it. Isn't that amazing? So every one of you is amazingly beautiful in your own special way. That's what I was trying to say. Marinate in that for a minute. Because God has wired you for a very special, amazing purpose. But someone said there's really very little difference between people. But that little difference makes all the difference. I can't do anything. Little difference can I make for God? If you have a heart for that, that's all you need. That makes all the difference. Am I getting through? Does that make sense? Friends, maybe we've had some tough circumstances, but we can have a heart for God, and it will do some powerful things. Just look at the person here. The person of Jabez. But let's go beyond that. Look at his prayer that he prayed. You see a couple things right away. In the middle of his pain, Jabez called out to God. Friends, if prayer is not a key priority in your life yet, make it one now. Urgent. It is the secret to so much. Jabez knew it. He called out to the one that was his source, and it was his answer. four quick parts here. This was a prayer of blessing, or blessing. These are things that he asked that kind of challenge traditional thinking some. And it radically affects how we live if we look at it and we begin to apply it. Look at first, a prayer for blessing. Two key things about the first part of his prayer. He said, "Oh, that you'd bless me." He asked. Friends, do you have a concern? How many of us have concerns and we don't get before God and just ask? Are we afraid he'll say no? Most of us are. But get before him and ask. If we can trust him, ask. If it's not a good question and not a good request, then you don't want him to answer it. But he'll lovingly help you to see that. But you've got to start the process. Ask. But here's Jabez. He's not happy with just that. He says, "Oh, that you would bless me." And the language literally says, "Oh, that you would bless me blessingly." It's a superlative. It's adding even more, as much as possible, with the language. He's saying, "Oh, that you would really, really bless me." There's passion here, even maybe desperation. He asked, but he also asked largely. Big. This is a big God we're talking to. Huge. There's none like him. We don't honor him if we ask small. We honor him if we ask largely. Because it says we think he's big enough to do something about this. We might just trust him a little. Ask, and ask largely. So there's three things about blessing when he's asking this. It's a powerful concept, and I'm not going to get hugely into it, but it's interesting what Proverbs 10 says to us. The verse is verse 22, the Living Bible version. The Lord's blessing is what? Do you want to have great wealth? Yearn for, ask for God's blessing. That's the greatest wealth you could have. All our works add nothing. Nothing we can do. Not the watered down idea of, "Oh Lord, bless the missionaries today." Or, and it says, "Oh Lord, bless our sendies." He goes off to work today. "Thank you, Lord. And oh, I've got housework to do." No, she probably gets on her knees a lot of the time and says, "God, be with that man. He really needs help." Nispa? Not just the person of our sin, but in his work. Be with him. He needs help today. Guide him as he leads these people, as he runs this business. Be with him. Give him creativity. Give him favor with people. Lord, pour out your spirit on him today. And do an amazing thing. Let your glory fall on him and on his business, etc., etc., etc. Passionate prayer like this. That's belief in blessing, in the kind of blessing God wants to give and can give. That kind of a thing. It's a powerful thing. And it's not just limited to material things. It's far, far, far beyond that. It's deep, it's broad, it's huge, because our God is huge. And he wants to work in huge ways in our lives. He doesn't work any differently if he's given freedom. God hasn't done too much for me lately. Well, maybe you didn't open the door far enough to let him in. Secondly, about the thing about blessing, the purpose of being blessed is so that we can be a blessing. Oh Lord, give me a Mercedes. I would love one of those. Where would you park it? I've laughed at that. These people with a big Audi or a Mercedes come along. I actually saw a Maserati the other day. Where do they park these things without them getting poof, poof, all over the place? But you know, if God gave me a Mercedes, it would be probably so that I could be a blessing to someone else with it. Maybe so that I would give it to someone else. Oh, no, 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 that's not the way God is. No, no, no. We've got to change our thinking here. He gives us things often so they can be used for something else, for someone else, for other situations, etc., etc. That's what he's like. That's what he wants. That's what draws people toward him. It's like God said to Abraham, in you will all the families of the earth be blessed. So I'm going to use you. I'm going to pour out my blessing so much on you, it's going to go out into the whole world. Abraham, I don't want you just to be rich and sit in a corner over here where it's nice and comfortable, lots of sunshine and beautiful scenery, and you can just squander this all on yourself. No, it's so you can give it. It's so you can influence people, and you'll begin to be able to show them who your God really is. In his kindness, if nothing else. And soften their hearts more and more. And more. See, friends, he wants you to be channels of blessing. Maybe it's doing something for your neighbor. Maybe making dinner for them. They're having a hard time, and you just go over and show God's love in a practical way and take dinner over to them. Whoa! Showing God's love in practical ways. Maybe it's making a tarth opum for your pastor because he really has things really difficult. He needs encouragement, you know, or carrot cake or something like that. Those things really, really minister to pastors, you know. He gives us abilities, he gives us resources so we can be a tat opam blessing on others, you see. Just a thought. You say, well, this is selfish. This is selfish to ask God for blessing to pour it out on me. I mean, it's not the spiritual thing to do. Let God take care of that. Let him take care of that. He's good. Usually, if you have half of a heart for God, when he starts pouring out his blessing on you, it gets overwhelming and you are awed and you're thinking, God, how could I ever deserve this? And your heart is humbled and you're saying, what can I do with this? How can I serve you with this? Our hearts go that way. And God says, now you got it. Now you got it. And he pours out even more. And you're going, God, I can't. Now you got it. And he pours out more. That's what he wants. Channels. The third thing, Jabez let God decide all the details. He didn't lay out a perfect plan like the Germans and the French like to do a lot. Man muss einen Plan haben, nicht? Un plan. You got to have the plan, right? Jabez just said, Lord, pour out your blessing. I want to be a blessing for you. Give me so that I can give. And that was all he asked. No more details. God loves it sometimes when we use details, but a lot of the time we don't need the details. And there it was. All Jabez worried about was just God doing what he wanted to do. And because of that, his life was full of miracles. How many of you would like your life to be full of miracles? Just being here in church today is a miracle. For many of you, to get up on Sunday morning is a miracle. Knowing Jesus is an unbelievable miracle. Starting to grow in knowledge of him is another miracle. You can start thinking of it. You should go home and make a list And you will be amazed how many miracles are already are in your life, even small ones. They're all big. Count your miracles and then ask for more so you can use them for him. That was Jabez's heart. See, friends, we do not have because we do not ask. This was also a prayer for influence, not just for blessing, for influence. He said, oh, you'd large, just enlarge my territory, God. He wanted more influence. And may that be our prayer. God, multiply, expand the opportunities I have to influence others for you. And friends, I want to encourage you, dream. Dream. And marinate in the dreams. Sit there, marinate in his presence. Marinate, marinate, marinate. Be there. Be still. He will speak to you. He will give you dreams. He will give you things to put on your heart that he wants to use you for. Then just ask. He'll help you tweak it if you need to, but ask. Like he did. It was also a prayer for filling, for God's enabling. You notice he said, let your hand be on me. Let your hand be on me. Lord, I need your power, your ability, your direction. You ever notice when you ask for God's blessing, he starts pouring it out? Usually, when he answers our prayers, we get in over our heads. Isn't that great? Why are you not smiling? Say that. I love to be in over my head. That's a French expression, isn't it? To be in over your head? No? Okay, I better explain that. The pastor said we should never go on. No, you misunderstood. You are in so deep. Like, say, if you get in deep water, you're in so deep that the water is over your head. The top level of the water is over your head. So, he's in over his head means he's really under. He's really sunk. He's in. He's fully immersed. No? I still see question marks. What's the water? That you can figure out, Aaron. I've just told you the principle. Now you figure out the details. That's between you and God. Yeah. How often when we pray for blessings, God pours out so much on us that we are in deep and it goes over our heads. It's so full, it's so plentiful, it's so bountiful, we don't know what to do. What do I do now? Maybe we shouldn't have prayed this way. You notice how Christians get that way? They want to sound spiritual. Oh, probably it wasn't God's will. We should not have prayed this way. God loves it. God loves it if we're over the edge. He can pull us back. But he doesn't like it too much if we sit back in a corner until we know for sure we have the perfect will of God and know exactly every detail to pray for. We will never pray then. Because we never get it perfect. God loves it when we're on an adventure and when we take risks and we're willing to go over the edge. If we're getting too far or it's getting too dangereux or whatever, God will pull us back a little bit. He'll correct it. He's good about that. He loves it when we want to take risks for him and when we ask largely. Filling. So what if that happens with Tikos? We're in over our heads. We don't have a pastor. We've got a place that's full every Sunday. What are we going to do? We shouldn't have prayed this way. We shouldn't have prayed for God to bless us. Now what do we do? You're laughing. See, you're guilty, aren't you? Yeah, but you see what he's done? You see what he's blessed you with? Now what do? You tell me. We'll talk about that on Saturday, right, Arsene? So that way we'll have 100% attendance because they don't know the answer yet.
All right.
When God pours it out, what happens? You find out you don't know how to handle it and you have no clue how to handle it. So what do you end up doing? Hopefully, you get on your knees and you say, God, I need help. And that's exactly where he wants us to be. Because it's not by our might or by our power that anything can get done. It's only by his Spirit. We catch a vision and get on our knees and we wait on God till we know what the next step is. It's his Spirit that has to guide us. You see why it's so important to marine? To sit with God? He gives answers. He's got an answer, and he's got many answers here for Tikos. And most of them, I think, are on the way. Do you believe that? You're looking at me like, maybe we can talk afterwards. What? That's what faith is. Yeah. That's why Jesus said, I'm with you always. Because he knew with enough time we would get so desperate we'd turn around and we'd go, Jesus, help! He says, I'm right here. I'm right here. He's waiting for us to call out for help and finally turn to him like we should be doing all the time. It's not just the bad things that at times force us to him. It's often also the good things. Where Trinity is at right now. I'm excited. In case you didn't get the idea, I am excited. Oh Lord, let your hand be with me. Say that with me. Oh Lord, let your hand be with me. And us, oh Lord, let your hand be with us. Tikos. Yeah. Every day, 5,000 times a day, pray that. Let it be on your heart. There's also a prayer for protection. Keep me from harm. Harm meaning literally evil. You notice when we get serious about God, he starts using us to take territory. And what's the most of the territory out here? Who does it belong to? The enemy. God has called us to take territory from the enemy. How does the enemy respond when we try to take territory from him? Does he say, okay.
Yeah.
He puts up a fight. He will not surrender easily. But who is greater than he who is in the world? He who is in us. So we take territory, and as we're taking territory, we're bumping into more territory that belongs to the enemy. You see the perfect picture, the children of Israel taking the promised land. That's why God gave us that example and led them through that, in some ways, to be an example for us now. Because he knew Tikos was going to be on the edge of taking some more territory. And they needed to have this encouragement. Can you say amen with me, or am I the only crazy one here this morning? Isn't that interesting? Jabez didn't say, we're going to wrap this up here in a sec. Jabez didn't pray, Lord, keep me through evil, but he said, keep me from evil. Isn't that curious? Similar to what Jesus said when he gave his disciples an example to pray the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. He just said, Lord, lead us not into temptation. He didn't say the same thing. He said, deliver us from evil. He didn't say, lead us into, just deliver us from evil. Kind of like preventive medicine should be our prayer. We're going to enter into warfare. There's no question. But let's not assume always. There are times, sometimes, when we can prevent it as we walk in his power. But there's something else here. Another translation says it this way, keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. If we are in pain, we usually will cause pain. Any of you want to admit that? It's easy to. You can lose balance. Pain can do some hard things to us. When we sin, let's hear this, brothers and sisters, and I need to hear this. When we sin, we cause pain. If I sin and I offend my brother, Francois, and I hurt him deeply, I just say, oh, well, that's just affecting him. It's no big deal. It's not going anywhere else. Oh, no. That sin is going to grip him. Whether he speaks it out or not, it's going to affect Jerry in their relationship. It's going to affect anybody else that's in that household, anybody else they have close relationships with, fellowships with. Sin is a powerful thing, and you dare not let it go and do its thing. It will destroy. It's a cancer. So this issue of pain is a big thing. And that should be a heartfelt, deep prayer of ours, or at least in our spirit of attitude of prayer all the time. God, so fill me with your spirit that I am so in love with you that nothing else is attractive anyway. You know, the closer and closer you get to Jesus in a love relationship, you don't have a love for much else. You don't love the things of the world that much. They get less and less attractive the more you really experience this deep, unbelievable love that God gives. He's love itself. Why would you want love with anything else? And when you taste it, the other things begin to taste less and less interesting. So, there's a huge incentive there. Lord, deliver me from this. Deliver me from sin. So fill me with yourself that I will sin less and less and less. We will not be sinless on this earth, but we will sin less and less if we let him fill our lives. Less and less and less. And we'll get closer and closer to sinless. You don't look like you're believing me. But just sit on that. Fall in love with Jesus. It's the greatest love relationship you can have, and it changes everything, even your desire for sin. The more we can prevent sin, the less we will cause pain for ourselves and others. It's no wonder he prayed along this way. So, prayer for blessing, influence, filling, protection. I think we can learn from this prayer as we create a legacy. There's a provision. It simply says, God granted his request. Don't you love that? Sometimes it's just, you don't need to say anything more about the way God is. Just simple, direct, God granted his request. God loves the simple, heartfelt prayer that we can give. It doesn't have to be complicated. He loves it. And he answers just as quickly as we can pray. He often has the answer on the way before we even start praying. Doesn't that say something about him? His heart? God granted his request. Say that to the person next to you. God wants to richly bless you and use you. Now, last, as we close, this is the last point. Last thing. This is not a magical prayer. How many of us love formulas? I know in the Western world, much of the Western world, especially in the United States, we love formulas. Just get the thing, plug it in, and boom, it's working. But then we don't depend on God very much, do we? Oh, I got my formula working. I don't need God. This isn't magical. So what is it? It's a manner of prayer, you see? Jesus said it when he was giving the prayer to his disciples as an example, the Lord's Prayer. He said, after this manner, pray. He wasn't saying, pray this exact literal prayer and you've got it magically. That's it. He said, in this way, pray. And he gave them an example. See? And we're going to get into that prayer some, I believe, Lord willing. So we catch that some more even, the real sense of that. So it becomes more a part of our lives, I trust. In this way, do you notice this prayer didn't, let's put it this way, this prayer did not change Jabez, although it did. The key thing was this prayer showed the heart of Jabez. You see? In reverse. So the challenge to us is to have that kind of heart and then pray these kinds of things, and we will see more and more amazing things happen, even in our lives and through our lives. How many of you just, let's be honest this morning, since you haven't been honest with me at this point. How many of you have honest questions like, God probably couldn't really use me, and who am I? Have you ever had that thought? Who's ever had that thought? Oh, we've got some more honest people, but some of you still aren't totally honest yet. No, this is for everyone. See, that's just a lie. God wants to make Jabez's. He wants to make more than Jabez out of us. May I say this? Hear me when I say this. We don't want to pattern Tikos after the New Testament church. Huh? No, probably God wants to do more than the New Testament church through us and through the church of God in the world these days. Because we have the advantage of past history and watching our brothers and sisters and how they've grown and how God will work if we truly trust him. We've learned from the faults and the good things of history. And we have his word, the full scriptures. So don't you think God would expect more out of that than just the New Testament church? With all due respect to my brothers and sisters in the New Testament, I can't imagine what they've gone through. But think of it, friends. We build on each other. We stand on each other's shoulders, generation after generation. God intends that we go higher and higher and higher. You're smiling, and I think it's saying, give me some more hope here. I want to hear. We ride the wave, This is what surfers like to do. How many of you are surfers here? Well, in Strasbourg, you can't really be a surfer, can you? Although it's damp enough for you to begin to think there's some high water around here somewhere, but there isn't any. You ride the wave so that you hope you can catch another wave and get to that one. And if you can ride that and there's another one, you try to catch that one. God puts us on waves, and then he brings another wave for us to catch. It's not like, oh, we're good. We're riding this wave. Rest of our lives, super. No. He's saying, all right, that's good. You're used to this one? All right, I got another one now. Get ready. And, whew, super, okay. Suffi, right? No, God says, hold on. I've got another one. And on and on and on. That's God. That's what he wants for Tikos. That's what he wants for you. That's God. Friends, Jabez built a great legacy. Now it's our turn. So bow with me in prayer, would you? In a spirit of prayer for a few moments. And I would encourage you, just be still for a little bit. And see what the Holy Spirit might be saying to your heart. But just open your heart to him and say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? What do I need to hear today through all of this? Maybe God is saying something totally different and doesn't seem to be related at all to what I'm talking about today. That's okay. Listen. Just hear what he's saying. And if you don't think you're hearing anything, don't get upset. Just be still. It's okay. God loves acts of faith like this, where we show him we want to grow in a relationship with him and hear from him. He loves it. Just make a mental note, and as you go home and you get home, spend a little time thinking about that and praying about that. See what he's saying to you about legacy. What he wants you to create and you to leave. Thank you, Lord, for, I believe, new beginnings today. And I hope in every heart here, new beginnings. Thank you for your grace and for your faithfulness. And everyone said, amen, amen. Let's celebrate that a little bit. Because God, if your heart's sincere, you're going to hear things from God. You believe that? Stand with me, even if you don't believe that. It will happen. Believe me. You can count on it. And if it doesn't happen, I want to hear from you, and we'll have a good talk. Let's stand. Let's celebrate in faith together.